Cynthia Lejeune Nobles is a food historian, and her research about the history, cuisine, and recipes of America's best-known overnight boat of the 20th century, the iconic Delta Queen, is now captured in a beautiful new cookbook. Well, it's not just a cookbook. We'll hear more about that. It's called The Delta Queen Cookbook, The History and Recipes of the Legendary Steamboat. Welcome, for the first time, Cynthia, to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure being here.
Well, you're comfortably on a river that the Delta Queen was once home to, so it must be a little bit like coming home.
It is, and when most people think of the Delta Queen, they associate it with Cincinnati. She was here for 36 years.
Yep.
She was here longer than any other place, and I know Cincinnati likes to claim her as its own.
Very much so. The Delta Queen just retired 4 years ago. I didn't realize it was that recent, 2008.
It was 2008, and the only reason that she retired was because of the SOLAS law, the Safety of Life at Sea Act. Congress passed the act in the 1960s, and since then had been giving the Delta Queen exemptions, and this act said that wooden boats could not sail if they had more than 50 overnight passengers. The Delta Queen always had about 185 passengers, but because she was so historic and had a beautiful safety record, they let her go all those years. But in 2008, they finally decided to retire her.
Could you tell us that during the early years of the 19th century, and we're talking pre-Delta Queen,
right?
What did a typical meal look like on the steamboats?
They were extremely elegant. That's where the term groaning board came from, the steamboat meals. It would just be lavish spreads of all kinds of meats and vegetables and wines. And when people wanted to party during that time, they would go on a steamboat. It was actually more elegant on the steamboat than in the fancy hotels. And Mark Twain made note of that, too, that if you wanted to have a good time, really good food, you went on a steamboat.
But when they discovered that food was a draw, it was almost a marketing strategy.
It was. Well, there were several eras of the steamboat. The beginning eras, they were mostly packet boats that carried freight and passengers, but they were not elegant at all. The late 1800s, early 1900s, they were trying to attract the luxury trade. The Delta Queen kind of took off on that. The Delta Queen was actually built at the end of the steamboat era, the very tail end. And it was kind of funny when I was doing research, I finally ferreted out why the Delta Queen and her twin, the Delta King, were built. It was because of Prohibition. They were built in California during Prohibition. People could safely get on the boats, ride up and down the San Joaquin River from San Francisco to Sacramento and drink undetected. And I do want to make the point that the Delta Queen was built in California along with the Delta King in 1927. And it was named after the California Delta, not after the Mississippi Delta. Most people think it was the Mississippi-Louisiana Delta, but it was not.
How did they stay supplied with fresh food when you're traveling like that? It was just one dining room?
One dining room, and the dining room was fairly large. It would hold all 185 passengers, but the galley was very small. It was only about 15 by 15. So at dinner every night, you had to have two seatings because of the small galley. Now, they would load up with food at whatever the home port was, whether it was New Orleans or Cincinnati. And when they ran out of things along the route, which happened quite often, they would dock along towns and send somebody to the store.
So the recipes really reflect food all up and down.
Oh, definitely, yes. Although there is a strong southern bend to it, as you've noticed. That started with the Green family. The Greens brought the Delta Queen to Cincinnati, I think it was 1949. Captain Tom Green and his mother, Mary, they really saved the boat. They put a lot of money into it, and I credit them with making the boat as famous as she is. They would take trips all up and down the Mississippi, spent a lot of time in New Orleans. Captain Tom Green loved New Orleans and the restaurants in New Orleans, and he was a foodie for his time, and he insisted on really good cuisine on the boat. And his famous saying was, hot food hot and cold food's cold. And the waitstaff all wore uniforms, beautiful uniforms, and they all remembered everybody's name. I took a trip in 2008 from Cincinnati to Pittsburgh. It was a five-night trip. And after the first night, our waiter knew our names, and he knew what we wanted to eat, and he would crack these wonderful jokes, and it was just a very pleasant experience to work with that waitstaff.
Let's talk about the food in the book. One of my favorite things is the old menus that you were able to find and reproduce. How is the cookbook section organized, and also how you made the decision to choose the recipes that you did?
Well, a lot of the recipes were favorites. I spoke with the chefs on the boat, and I asked them, please tell me, what were your most requested recipes? So those are the ones that made the cut. To organize it, let's see, I started out with when the boat was built in California. Then it's sort of chronologically. Then I ran out of chapters. and so I put a lot about the entertainment. I wrote about the ghost. Captain Mary's ghost does still haunt that boat. You know, lots of people have seen her. That was fun to write about. And I end with a chapter on saving the Delta Queen. And there is still a movement to get the boat running again. People are hoping that Congress will have a change of mind, give her another chance, because she does have such a good safety record. And there are people actively working right now. I was on the boat last weekend. She's permanently moored right now in Chattanooga as a hotel. Mm-hmm. And I got to speak with a lot of the hardcore fans. We were there for an anniversary, her 85th anniversary weekend. They are actively petitioning Congress to try and save the Delta Queen.
What are a couple of the favorite recipes you have?
Tiramisu is my number one favorite. Every potluck dinner I go to now, I bring that tiramisu recipe, and I get rave reviews. It's a good one because it's foolproof. I had made tiramisu recipes in the past that were always kind of gloopy and soft, but this one always comes out perfectly because there's gelatin in it. So you're going to have a good, nice, beautiful slice of tiramisu.
And who provided that recipe for you?
Chef Herbert C. Cade. Chef Cade was from New Orleans, and he was the last executive chef on the Delta Queen while she was sailing. Most of my recipes came from Chef Terry Newkirk. Terry Newkirk, he was chef, I think, in the late 80s, and he had tried to standardize the recipes for the Delta Queen and the Mississippi Queen. Those two ran together on the Mississippi route. And he made a booklet out of all of those recipes and just gave it to me and said, here. So I actually have enough recipes to make a whole new book, in which I'm contemplating, may do that. But back to my favorite recipes, gumbos. The gumbos are very, very good. They're very authentic. And like I said, most of the chefs were from the New Orleans area. So there's a strong Cajun Creole bend to the food. The shrimp Creole is excellent. Simple to make. The crawfish en cru is absolutely delicious, and it makes a beautiful presentation.
Now, you have another project coming up.
I have several projects
coming up. And the one was a New Orleans cuisine book that you contributed to?
Yes, I did. That one was published a few years ago with the Newcomb Group. We picked 14 signature dishes in New Orleans, and that was very hard to do because New Orleans has produced so many great, iconic American dishes. I did a chapter on oysters, a chapter on Creole cream cheese, and that was fun.
Fascinating. And do you have a book coming out in the future?
I'm working on one right now on plantation cooking. What I've done, I've gone into the archives and the university libraries, and I have found the old recipes that the mistresses of the plantations used to write. They used to keep journals, handwritten recipes, and they would write them in paragraph form. And all they would put was the ingredients, because slave cooks just knew how to cook, but the mistress wanted the exact certain ingredients in there. So I have tons of those recipes. I'm converting those into today's modern kitchen. I'm going to put the old recipe in the new recipe. So it's going to be pretty interesting. I've really enjoyed that project.
Oh, I bet. That's fascinating. Well, we'll have to have you back and talk,
I'd love
and
to.
Talk more. I've been speaking with food historian and author Cynthia Lejeune Nobles about her newest book. It's called The Delta Queen Cookbook, The History and Recipes of the Legendary Steamboat. And it is filled with pictures, black and white, historic pictures, as well as full color pictures of each of the recipes. For more information, please visit our website, wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, this is Robin Carey Allgaier. Jambalaya, crawfish pie, filet gumbo. I said tonight, I'm gonna go see my Michelle.